So good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Now, first of all, let's just talk about this text for a little bit. So feedback from this passage. You had to really have your listening ears on, didn't you? Can you remember who some of the characters were in this passage? Who can recall who one of them might be if you are a young person?
Herod.
Yes. Herod. Young person. Herod. So Herod was in there. Yes, Noah. The wise men. Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, Noah. Who else was in there? Who was at the beginning of the story? Aaron? Who was in the beginning of the story? Can you think who it was? Someone whose tummy was getting bigger. Mary, well done. Mary. And who else? Who was going to be... Who was umming and ahhing whether he was going to be committed to Mary or not? Oh, Noah again? Bam, right there. Very good. Now, each of these characters faced uncertainty. They all have a crazy Jacob blended smoothie put in front of them. And they each face uncertainty when they encounter Jesus. And we see the choices that they make and how they respond. So, kids, so anyone taste Jacob's special smoothie? Yes, Shay, how was it?
Very good.
Very good, yeah? Yeah, did it feel nutritious?
Yep.
Yeah, great, yeah, all that bacon and egg McMuffin. Nice. So how did you feel when you weren't sure what you were going to get? How did you feel? Do you feel okay about it? Do you feel at peace? Or did you feel uncertain? Bit of silence? Bit scary? Yeah. It's a bit scary when you don't know what's going to happen, isn't it? And it's a little bit like that with the smoothies, eh? We didn't really know what we were going to get, so it was a little bit scary, a little bit uncertain. But then perhaps for those who got to taste the chocolate milk, there might have been a bit of peace at the end. Or even if you tasted the yucky bit and you thought, I can live with that, there'd be a sense of peace that comes with that. Okay, so here's a chance for you guys to get your thinking caps on a little bit. What are some examples of uncertainty that people might face in life? Either in life in general or specifically when they encounter Jesus. So call them out. What are some examples of uncertainty? Marriage, yes, definitely. You don't know whether people are going to change or what it's going to be like, or, oh my goodness, are they going to find out who I really am? Yeah. Job security, yeah. Yep.
Freedom.
Freedom. Yep. Yeah, yeah, what are we willing to give up, yeah.
Health.
Health, yeah, very much so. Yeah, I mean, you know, appointments that are on the horizon or family histories or whatever, you know, that's all really, can be really daunting, uncertain stuff. Yep.
Children?
In what sort of way? How are they going to turn out? Yeah, I said that to Aaron this morning, actually. We were talking about uncertainty, and I said, oh, I don't know how you guys are going to turn out. I want you to be great men. Sorry. Yeah, so there's lots of uncertainties. Before we start looking at each of these four characters, I want us to take a moment to consider ourselves two things. Firstly, to think of a time when you have been uncertain in the past. So I want you to think of a time where you've been uncertain. It might be easy, it might be a little bit harder to think of something. And then think about how did you respond to that uncertainty? And then think, is there something you are uncertain of right now? So I'll just give you a few moments to consider those two questions. Okay. So hopefully you've got a couple of things in mind. So I just want you to keep those in mind as we move through the sermon this morning. So uncertainty faces us all at various times and to various degrees of strength as well. Now, first of all, we're going to look at the person with the tummy who's getting bigger, Mary. Okay, this is what verse 18 says to remind us here. This is how Jesus Christ was born. A young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Now, from last week, we learned that for Mary to have been found to have participated in the pregnant-making process was a catastrophe. The shame on her, the shame on Joseph, and on Mary's family would have been immense. And I imagine Mary would have felt incredibly uncertain. Did she question herself whether that angelic visit was indeed real? Did she believe it when she was told that she would be pregnant with the Messiah, the Son of God? Did she believe that? Was Mary uncertain of how Joseph would respond? You bet. Was Mary uncertain of what her family, her friends and town thought of her? For sure. Mary's encounter with fetus Jesus through her pregnancy left her with uncertainty and a choice. How was she going to respond? And we see from Luke's gospel, we're reading from Matthew today, but from Luke's gospel, that Mary responded to the angel by saying, "I am the Lord's servant, let it happen as you have said." And from Matthew, from our passage again, we read of God saying through a prophet hundreds of years earlier that a virgin will have a baby boy and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So when confronted with the reality of Jesus, Mary had many choices of how she would respond to her uncertainty. But in the face of uncertainty, Mary trusted. Mary trusted. She trusted the angel. She trusted the prophets and what they had spoken. She trusted God. She trusted herself. And she trusted Joseph. So for Mary, trusting wasn't necessarily linked to doing anything, but rather about being. Trusting for her was about stillness. And in the uncertain situation that you have faced in the past, was a wonder of trust was a part of that response. And perhaps in your current circumstances, God is inviting you to trust. The tricky thing is, trusting's pretty difficult, isn't it, when it means accepting something hard. Except whether it's a weird concoction of a blender, blended yuckiness, or whether it's something that's a whole lot more real and a whole lot more uncomfortable. Trusting normally means there's uncomfortable consequences. And trust also, I think, brings peace. Peace that isn't about being happy, but about being content, being still, and it's about acceptance. And in the midst of her turmoil of this uncertainty and surprise, Mary trusts and surely finds peace. A peace that can be ultimately only be found in the baby that she's carrying in her womb, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In times of uncertainty, trust Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The second character in this passage is Joseph. Now, if I try to put myself in Joseph's shoes, I soon realize, I mean, he is a real man. I mean, a man who wants to do the right thing. He's a man who respects people. He's a man who has the guts to make hard decisions and to stick with it when it's tough. Have you ever had an awkward conversation? Surely, you must have at some point. I remember getting angry at this girl in primary school. I wonder if any of you kids have done this. And I threw a bat along the ground to try to scare her, threw it next to her. I wasn't trying to hit her. But the thing is, it popped up and it smashed through my own classroom window. I was banned from the playground for a week and tried to hide it from my parents. But when my mum asked why I wasn't playing at the playground, no doubt my brother would have brought that up in conversation. That was really, really awkward and uncomfortable. Now imagine Mary telling Joseph that she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit and the baby is going to be God's son. At least she hasn't done anything wrong. But gee, what an awkward conversation. But this is what happened when he found out. Verse 19. Joseph was a good man and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone, so he decided to quietly call off the wedding. While Joseph was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then after the baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Have you ever been in a situation where you've got a hard decision to make? You wrestle with it, and you think you've come to a decision. And then something else that seems to be from God just gets thrown into the mix, or just scrambles everything up again. And you've got to reconsider the whole situation again. Talk about uncertainty. And this is Joseph's situation. Whilst we think hearing from an angel must be sweet because it's so clear, it's obvious what we've got to do, angels and even God do not always get their way. Look at the world around us. We're made with the ability to make choices. And Joseph still had to make his choice. There was much on the line for this choice. On the one hand, disobey the angel and go about his original plan to quietly divorce Mary. Then life would go on as normal. Or, on the other hand, obey the angel of the Lord, marry Mary, and face the shame and the scorn and the rejection of his family and friends. Joseph's encounter with Jesus through Mary's pregnancy and the angel left him with uncertainty and a choice. How was he going to respond? Verse 24 tells us, "After Joseph woke up from the dream, he and Mary were soon married, just as the Lord's angel had told him to do. But they did not sleep together before her baby was born. Then Joseph named him Jesus." When confronted with the reality of Jesus, Joseph had a choice of how he would respond to his uncertainty, and in the face of uncertainty, Joseph obeyed. For Joseph, obeying God was in direct contrast to his own preference, where he'd already made the decision of what he was going to do. And for Joseph, obeying God meant others would have thought he was weird. For Joseph, obeying God countered common sense. It was uncomfortable and hard. And for Joseph, obeying God meant there was a cost. His humility levels must have been high when his family wouldn't put him and Mary up for the night in Bethlehem. That's where his family was from. And who knew how long these ongoing consequences of this choice to obey would last. And in the uncertain situation that you have faced in the past, was obedience a part of your response? Perhaps in your current circumstances, God is inviting you to obey. Obedience is a pretty uncomfortable word, isn't it? It's really difficult when it means accepting what it's hard. And obedience normally means there's uncomfortable consequences. And obedience also brings peace. Peace isn't about being happy, but about being content that the right thing is being done. And in the midst of this turmoil of uncertainty, Joseph obeys and surely finds a peace that can only be found in the baby that he's the stepfather to, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In times of uncertainty, obey Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The third character in this passage is Herod. Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 says that when Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. During this time, some wise men, or in the words of Michael McKillop, the wise guys, so here I'm known as the wise guys, from the east, they came to Jerusalem and they said to Herod, "Where is the child born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him." So we have a problem. Herod is the Roman appointed king. There's no other king of the Jews. The only possibility is that they're referring, that these wise guys are referring to the promised Messiah who was expected to rescue God's people, Israel, from their oppressors, whom Herod represents. So this baby is a threat to his livelihood, a threat to his power. And verse 3 tells us how Herod responds, because he has a choice how he responds to this uncertainty. He was worried, verse 3 says. And so was everyone else in Jerusalem. Herod brought together the chief priests and teachers of the law of Moses and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" And they told him, "He will be born in Bethlehem, just as the prophet wrote." You see, when Herod encounters news about Jesus, there is uncertainty. Where would he be born? And as a Jewish convert, Herod probably should have known that. And will this king compromise my new way of my way of living? That's what Herod would have been thinking. He was worried, but other translations say frightened or troubled. Herod's encounter with Jesus through the wise guys left him with uncertainty and a choice. How was he going to respond? And verses 7 and 8 tell us, Herod secretly called in the wise men and asked them when they had first seen the star. He told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, let me know. I want to go and worship him too." And later we read that Herod tried to kill Jesus. And so when confronted with the reality of Jesus, Herod had a choice of how he would respond to his uncertainty. And in the face of uncertainty, he chose fear and hostility. Fear and hostility. He was in fear of the unknown. He couldn't control the situation. He was in fear of losing his place to another. And so he acted with hostility to remove the uncertainty. And that can be an easy response to make. Out of fear, to act to remove the uncertainty and stay in control. In the uncertain situation that you have faced, was fear or hostility a part of your response? And perhaps in your current circumstances, are you being tempted to choose fear and or hostility? Herod's fear and hostility led to pain and suffering and death. And the same is true today. Whilst fear can be an entirely appropriate and healthy emotion, when we respond to Jesus or to general life situations with fear, the consequences for people's hearts and lives is devastating. If people are feeling fear towards Jesus, I think it would be helpful to pause and consider our view of God, whom Jesus is the full revelation of. Is our view of God biblical? Is it accurate? Does it need some expanding, perhaps? And fear in life, my experience has been that it needs to be identified and acknowledged where fear is being felt so that it can be brought out into the light. Because it's when we can work through the strong emotion of fear, learning what's causing us to feel this way and addressing this, that life and peace can flow. Peace isn't about putting on a happy face when we're fearful, but about having a deep content within us, even when things aren't going the way we want them to. In times of uncertainty, don't fear Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. And lastly, let's look at the wise guys, the wise men or the magi. The wise guys were following a star from the east that they believed would lead them to the newly born king of the Jews. I find that quite remarkable and mind-blowing in itself. I mean, how on earth would they know that? That these people would drop everything and follow a star, probably for months, with expensive gifts, shows a willingness to act out of what they believed. They dedicated their lives to this cause. There was nothing more important. We could say that their journey was an act of worship of Jesus. The only uncertainty the wise guys seemed to have was about Jerusalem, the capital with the palace, the expected place for a king to be born, but not King Jesus. Here they were with Herod the king, not knowing what the wise guy, and he was not knowing what the wise guys were talking about. So the wise guys might have been thinking, had they got this all wrong? Did they miss a turn 400k up the road in Syria? Could they be bothered to keep on going after months of journeying already? They must have been exhausted. The wise guys' encounter with Jesus, his star, Jesus' star, up until Jerusalem, left them with uncertainty and a choice. How were they going to respond? After finding out that the Jewish scripture said he'd be born in Bethlehem, they continued their pilgrimage. Chapter 2, verses 9 to 11 say, the wise men listened to what the king said and then left, and the star they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were thrilled and excited to see the star. When the men went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh, and gave them to him. When uncertainty was experienced in their search for Jesus, the wise guys had a choice of how they would respond, and in the face of uncertainty, the wise guys worshipped. For the wise guys, worshipping Jesus was an adventure. Worshipping was done together. Worshipping Jesus was costly. They gave generously. And it took much of their time for the journey as well. There's some obvious parallels there for us. Worshipping Jesus meant action for them, doing something that made a difference. Their actions possibly sourced Mary and Joseph's escape to Egypt when Herod came after them through the gifts that they gave. Their actions have been recorded in Scripture for generations to hear, read, and be inspired by. Their actions, more importantly, came from a heart of wanting to give Jesus their all, regardless of what it meant for them. That's a life of worship. And in the uncertain situation that you have faced in the past, was worship a part of your response? And perhaps in your current uncertainty, God is inviting us to worship. In the midst of their uncertainty of what to do next, the wise guys continued their journey towards Jesus and they found peace. A peace that can only ultimately be found in that baby that they knelt before and gave their gifts to. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In times of uncertainty, worship Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Uncertainty is normal. In it, may we be welcoming to Jesus, trusting like Mary, obeying like Joseph, worshipping like the wise men. We've got some three stations set up around here. There's some rocks down here. There's some candles. Oh, you've got candles. And there's some on the table at the back there. There's some stuff there. With the pile of rocks, it's hard to shake or shift the rock. They just keep on faithfully being solid, don't they? And sure, which makes it a helpful image for us of trusting God. In our uncertainty, God is like a trustworthy rock, constant, dependable, faithful, So we're going to create some space where you can just come and take a rock, hold a rock, and consider God's invitation to trust Him in your uncertainty. At the back on the table there, the little blue bits of card, we have parts of a song, lyrics to a song that we're going to sing. It's a song of dedication to follow God regardless of what or where He's inviting us to go or do or be or love. And this speaks of obedience in the midst of uncertainty. You may like to pick up one of the cards and reflect on the words and talk with Jesus about that. And you have a candle. This reminds us of worship. God wants people to worship Him in spirit and truth. And the light from a candle speaks to us both of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and of illuminating, of light, illuminating the truth. So you may like to come up and light a candle off the Peace or Hope Advent candle and pray and be with God and worship in response to an uncertainty in your life. Jesus, through His death on the cross and resurrection, has the power to change lives, to bring His peace, even when it doesn't make sense. Perhaps Jesus wants to bring some peace to you today. So when you're ready, please come up to one or all of the stations, up to you, whatever you're drawn to. And you obviously feel free, you can ask someone to pray with you as you sit or whatever. And we're going to have something playing up here while we do that. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You that You are the Prince of Peace. That whatever feelings we feel when we encounter You, that we can choose You. We can choose to trust. We can choose to obey. We can choose to worship, knowing that You are good and that You can bring peace into our hearts and minds. And for some of us here today, we probably really need that. And so I want to ask that You would particularly grace us with Your peace today. And we think beyond ourselves as well, of our community and our nation and our world that is in just such desperate need of peace. May Your Spirit continue to move and bring peace to all people. May this season of waiting, of anticipation, be one that draws people to Yourself, Jesus. May it draw us. Amen.